This morning, the title of my message is The Power of a Testimony. The Power of a Testimony. We're in a new series, Freedom Reigns. And what an awesome job this morning. Freedom reigns in this place. And the Epistle of Galatians is really a letter of freedom. It's letting believers know that they can live in freedom. Freedom from the bondage of legalism, freedom from sin, freedom from the attack from the enemy. People can live in freedom, amen? And that's good news this morning. But the first week, we talked about why Paul wrote the letter. It was a gospel worth defending. He's very much on the defensive in this letter to the Galatians and to the churches that he founded in that region. He is on the defensive, very much so. And the first part of Galatians is more of a personal defense, and we will stay with that theme today. He's defending his apostleship, which we talked about in week one, and he's defending his call, the call of God on his life. And he is basically telling the Judaizers and the Jews, he's saying, look, I'm the real deal. Not because there's something spectacular about me, but because there's something spectacular about the God that called me on Damascus Road. Amen. The title of the message this morning is The Power of a Testimony. Don't ever underestimate the power of your story. Your story can set other people free. You know, I think I'm not a scientist, but I know that we all have different DNA. We're all different from every millimeter on our body. We're all different. God made us all uniquely different. And your story may be different than my story, but somebody needs to hear it. Amen. Somebody needs to hear that testimony. So this morning, we're going to hear a little bit of Paul's testimony, the power of a testimony. We're going to start where we stopped on the first sermon. Am I now trying to win the approval of men? Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 10. The power of a testimony. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me so that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus, where it all started. Amen. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. They praised God because of me. If you will be willing to step out of yourself and share your testimony, your story, your personal story with someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I promise you someone will be praising God because of you, because of your story. People need to hear it. And that is the power of a testimony. Today we're going to learn how to share our testimony. You say, well, I don't feel comfortable speaking in front of people. I'm going to give you three principles that we can learn from Paul's story that you can apply to your own life that will help you share your story with other people. Let us pray this morning. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you, Father, that we are free. Father, that your Son has set us free, and we are free indeed, Lord, and we give you praise and glory for that. Lord, we thank you, Father, that through your Son we can have a testimony and a story to tell other people, Father. Because we know that it's your Son, that He's the reason for our story, the reason, Father, that we've been redeemed by the blood. Father, I thank You for Your grace. Father, I thank You for the test, because without a test, there is no testimony. And Father, I thank You for the struggles. Father, I thank You that everything that the devil ever meant for bad, You turned it to good. In Jesus' name, amen. The first characteristic that Paul addresses this morning, before we get into the three main principles, is a people pleaser. All these start with the letter P, so they'll be easy to remember. Paul says, are you a people pleaser? You see, you can't truly serve God if you're serving Him with the wrong motive. You cannot serve this church or serve anyone if you have the wrong motive. And Paul says there in verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? And I think all of us, and we touched on this a little bit last time, need to ask ourselves that question. Are we trying to win the approval of men or of God? You see, I'm the type of person, I want everyone to like me. I'm that way. I want you all to be my friend, and I hope I'm your friend. I want us to have good fellowship with one another. I want us to laugh. I want us to cry together. But ultimately, I know that the enemy will try to twist my gift of mercy and my compassionate heart and get me in a mess. Because I've looked back at my past and in my life, and a lot of things I ended up involved in was out of my own love or the want to help people. And sometimes you want to help people so bad you end up screwed up yourself. Amen or oh me? And Paul says, are you a people pleaser? Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I love that, a servant of Christ. Because, you know, if you're a servant of Christ, and some of you have the gift of service, I think we all know that Joe has that gift, and Jeff, I mean, you talk about when people with the gift of service, when tragedy strikes or something bad happens, I mean, their blood starts flowing. They get excited. Just like those of us, when somebody comes up here heartbroken with the need, I've got the gift of mercy. So I'm not excited that they're hurt, but I mean, the spiritual gift that God's put in me is going, great, I get to help somebody, amen? Now, when there's 4 inches of snow around the church and the pastor's puking, then somebody with a gift of service like Jeff, his spiritual gift's going, I can hear Rocky playing. Dun, dun, dun. I mean, he called me Saturday, and I mean, I've never heard somebody so excited about scraping snow off concrete in my entire life. And then it's like, you want to come bring me gate? Brother, I've got the stomach virus. Are you serious? No, I don't care. He wants to serve. And I love people with that gift. And there's many more of you that have it, but I just wanted to pick on him. But Paul says, are you trying to win the approval of man? You see, if you're to be a servant of Christ, you know, Jeff wasn't serving me like I'm some kind of pompous pastor. He was serving God. When he was out here on the concrete shoveling this snow, he wasn't serving me or David. He was serving God. When you go to work tomorrow morning, those of you that have a job, you're not going to serve the man or work for the man or Uncle Sam. You're serving God. Everything you do to the best of your ability to bring glory and honor to God. And you see, when Paul was in Judaism, trained under Gamaliel and sat at the feet of high priest, and he knew about all the special revelation. I mean, he was educated. He said, you know, if I was still wanting to live that life, I would not be a servant. But Jesus Christ has made me a servant. I could have all the politics. I could have all the prestige. I could be somebody in the eyes of other people, but I would rather be a servant of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I would rather be a servant of God than just somebody with prestige and power. Because, you know, that'll get you killed. That'll kill you, trying to keep up some false, fake image. But when you're a servant of Christ and you know it's no longer about you, but it's about Him, that'll bless you. That'll bless you. So the first characteristic is a people pleaser. The next is a puppet. A puppet. Verse 11, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. It's not something that man made up. Because you see, some of the Jews were accusing him of just buying in to the gospel of Peter or the gospel of James. They said, look, you're just repeating things you've heard in the past. You've gotten this from man. You didn't get this from the living God. Because they didn't think that Jesus was the blood-bought Lamb of God. They didn't believe He was who the gospel said He was. They didn't believe He was the fulfillment of prophecy. So He says, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. He says, look, I didn't get this from the university. He says, look, I didn't get this from tradition. I didn't get this from how I was raised. I was raised a Jew. I was raised to believe and observe days. I was raised to be a racist against Gentiles. I didn't get this from man. I got this from God. You know, because if you get the real gospel, the true gospel that Paul talks about, the justification through faith, if you get that, then you're going to offend some people. Not everybody's going to like you. Because this gospel is not going, it doesn't fit any one religion perfectly. It doesn't fit any one class of people perfectly. It's for all. And if you want your own little group, your own little thing, then you're going to have trouble with this gospel that Paul preached. But he says, look, I'm not a puppet. You know, many pastors are nothing more than puppets. I mean, many pastors, they go to the hospitals 4 or 5 days a week, and God bless them. I do that back home. But they serve the people. They show up at every birthday party. They show up at every event. They want to be seen by the community. They'll do this invocation, this benediction, this thing. They're running here and they're running there, and God bless them. All those are very important things. But let me tell you something. I want somebody that's doing something out of a genuine love for Christ. Not because it's their duty or their job. You know, if I'm sick, don't come visit me unless you love me. Does that make sense? And I don't even like to be visited when I'm sick, bless God. If I'm in a hospital robe, I tell people all the time, I want you to come back to church. I don't want you seeing me in that. You may never come back, amen? But he says, look, are you a people pleaser? Are you a puppet? A puppet is someone that, there's someone that just controls the strings. You know, a pastor is going to offend you every now and then. A real pastor, because they're going to preach this book to you. They're going to say things that aren't going to sit right with your spirit. You're going to be under conviction. If you can come to church every single Sunday without ever being offended or ever being challenged, then bless God, that's not church. Because even the messages that I preach challenge me and convict me. I've been so under conviction before after preaching that I weep for an hour or two. Because God's convicted me in the middle of me preaching. I don't want to be a puppet. And let me tell you something, friend, I don't want you to be a puppet. I want God to move you and use you and speak through you in power. I want you to be able to share that testimony with people. Go beyond yourself and be able to love other people. Man, what a great job last week. Gosh, I wish I would have been a part of it. The Rescue Atlanta thing. I mean, our people came back raving about, you know, blessing with clothes. I mean, I had so many clothes I didn't know what to do with. But you know, it's genuine with the people at Rescue Atlanta. It's genuine with T-Top. I believe that. This church wants to help people. It's genuine. It's not because of our location. We are strategically located. No, this is where we have church, and bless God, people need help, and let's just help them. Because that's what the Bible says to do. Amen. Next, a Pharisee. He says, look, I'm not doing this to please people. I'm not some puppet for the Jews. I'm not some puppet for Peter. Here's what I am. I'm God called, but this is my past. I was a Pharisee. Number three is a Pharisee. Paul says, I once was, but not anymore. Verse 12, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, rather. I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Apocalypto is the Greek word there. By revelation from Jesus Christ. The word received means passed from one to another. Paul is saying, look, this wasn't passed down from previous generations, from my fathers. You see, Christianity, young people and children and friends and family, it's not something that you can inherit from your parents. Now, they can do like Sonny's grandmother did and read the Bible to them before they go to bed and love on them and feed them and show them the love of Christ so that one day when they get to the age of accountability that they themselves will choose Christ. But you don't inherit being a Christian. My dad preached all over the world. I wasn't going to go to heaven because he did that. I had to accept Christ for myself. I had to be forgiven on my own. Young people, don't ever think that because your parents come to church that you're going to heaven. Because you're not. Until you become to the age you need to be, you come to the age of accountability and you choose Jesus for yourself. For yourself. Paul had an encounter with Christ on Damascus Road that changed his life. He was a persecutor of the church, a persecutor of Christians, of people that believed differently than he did. Not only was he a high ranking on his way to the top in the Jewish circle, but he wanted to persecute and murder anyone that believed differently than he did. And he was on his way to do that when God said, and everybody says, well, you know, there are people that say, you know, if God knocked me down like that, I've just never had an experience like that. Are we all different? Maybe God needs to knock Ronnie Phillips over and break my heart and watch me bury friends for a couple years to get me to come to Christ. But maybe for you, God just put a grandmother in your life or a person or a friend in your life that loved you enough for you to accept Christ and be faithful. You know, we're all different, and what God needs to do for one, He may not need to do for the other. We don't all need to have a Damascus Road experience. We just need to walk where God has asked us to walk, to go where God has called us to go, to do what God has called us to do. Paul says, you know, I'm not a people pleaser, I'm not a puppet, and I'm no longer a Pharisee. The next thing he covers was pride. He says, you know, I used to be prideful, but, you know, pride's not an issue with me anymore. Pride's not an issue with me anymore. Verse 13. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. We just talked about that. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. I mean, he wanted to embrace everything that had to do with the religion in which he was raised. He wanted to know it all, excel in it. He wanted to be lifted up and praised by his peers. This was important to him. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not consult with any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. You know, there's a lot of things that we can say here. But one of the things that jumps out at me is, you know, I love Paul. You can almost think he's arrogant, but he's not arrogant in himself anymore. He is arrogant because he knows who lives inside of him. He's not overconfident in himself. He's confident in Christ that lives in him. Does that make sense? He is confident in the God that has touched him. He's had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and God is living in him and is ordering his steps, and he is fired up. And I love this part because he says, you know, I didn't go up to speak with all the apostles before me. I didn't consult every person that had ever preached before I started preaching. Why? Because those people, they don't anoint you on the head and give you some kind of right hand of passage to do what God's called you to do. God called him. God chose him and set him apart from his mother's womb to be an apostle. And he didn't have to go seek approval from men. He didn't have to go seek approval for those that have gone before him. Now, he fellowshipped with them. But he didn't have to go seek some kind of false approval. See, a lot of people they want to get approval from everybody. I've heard people say, well, you know, God's called me to ministry. To me, the proof's in the pudding. You know, people don't need me to say, well, I think you'd make a great pastor. Or I think you'd make a great preacher. Or let me, you know... Because when God called me, I would go preach at the jail. I would go preach at drug rehab places. I would drive myself there, broke as a joke. And I would preach to anyone who would let me preach to them. Many people, they're not willing to do that. And if you're called to preach, if you're called to ministry, then start ministering at your job. Start ministering today. Start serving God right where you are. There's no pecking order. And someone will say, my goodness, God's using that man. I want in on some of that. That's the way it works. You don't need approval from man. I want to ask you this morning, look at yourself, look at your own life, and decide which one of those characteristics are you struggling with. Are you a people pleaser? Are you always trying to please everybody to the extreme that you don't please God? You've tried to please every person in your family. You've tried to be the perfect mother, the perfect father, the perfect friend, the perfect employee. You want approval from Pastor David. You want approval from the leadership of this church. You're looking to be accepted in this place and that place, when really your acceptance comes from Jesus. Your acceptance is not from us. It's not from your job. You need to do all things to the best of your ability. But are you trying to please people? Next, are you prideful? Is it all about you? Maybe you're not trying to please anybody, including God. Maybe it's all about you. If it's about what you can get, what you can do, what's best for you. Not what's best for that other person. What's best for you? Or are you a Pharisee? And we've talked about this extensively before. Are you just a religious person, or has something real happened in your life? It's a question only you can answer. I want to give you three elements to a testimony, and we'll close. Three elements to a testimony. Every good testimony has three elements to it. The first, drawn from Paul, is the past that chained him. The past that chained him. Everybody say, my past. Every good testimony has a past. These kids are better than y'all. I'm going to kick the rest of y'all out of here, and they're going to stay with me. They're the only ones talking back. Y'all ought to be ashamed. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys and girls. The past that chained him. For you have heard of my previous way in life of Judaism. Paul was chained by a number of things. He was chained, number one, by religion. He was chained by religion. His life was based on Jewish tradition. It was based on his heritage, his family, his friends. He had a bright future, but it wasn't the future God had for him. Many of you may be on track, but not on the right track. Religion is what often turns people away from a relationship with Christ and turns them toward a relationship with the world. And Paul had been chained by religion. Religion can strangle you spiritually to the point where you miss God. And I understand that that may not be your fault, but now that you know, you got to do something about it. I wouldn't be a member of a dead church. I wouldn't be. If you're visiting with us this morning and you don't have a church home, you need a church home that's alive and free. This is the place for you. Religion was a part of that past that chained him. Religion had Paul chained. Next, racism had him chained. He says, I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Paul murdered people that were not of his race or his religion. You say, well, Pastor Ronnie, I've never murdered anybody. Well, sure you have. What's the Bible say in Matthew 5:21? Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will also be subject to judgment. You can murder somebody with your thoughts or your unwillingness to accept or forgive. You can murder someone because of your own bitterness. I can remember Jadon and I were in counseling. And I had the first time I heard your testimony. And we were dealing with someone. And I've seen this my whole life. People that get treated terribly and abused, they hold on to that bitterness, and by the time they're 30 or 40, thank God God rescued you before all that, but they hang on to that until they're 30 or 40, and it ends up ruining them and everybody around them. And they think by holding on to all that anger, they're hurting the person that abused them. No. They're giving them all the power in the world. Racism had him chained. You know, I'm so sick of that. Racism of every kind. It's a sin. It's one of the darkest blemishes on this nation. And we ought to be ashamed of it. Why can't we just accept people for who they are? We're all a part of God's body. I heard that song on the way down here. And then I heard that Kirk Franklin song, and I about drove off the road with that girl, that Lamb of God song. My God, what a song. I about fell out in the car. Y'all had to, Jeff would have been on his way, amen. But I tell you, he was chained by his past, his religious past. He was chained because he was a murderer, but he was a racist. Just as bad as him killing people was what was in his heart, that hatred towards people, the Gentiles. And then, it's funny, God sent him to preach to them. He never was accepted by his own people. And God sent him to preach to the people he once persecuted. Isn't that awesome? And he loved every second of it. He loved it so much that when Peter tried to disown him later, he jumps on Peter. And we'll get to that in a few weeks. Woo! A two-faced preacher. That's the title of that one. Relationships had him chained. Religion had Paul chained. Racism had Paul chained, and relationships had him chained. That's what our text says. It said he talks about his fathers, his heritage. Paul's family and friends were bringing him down. He was deeply religious. His parents and family had high expectations for him. But the truth was he was missing out on what God had for him because he was so chained to his family and to his friends, to his circle. How many of you are hanging around with people? And I don't care. This is not just for teenagers. Some of you adults have been hanging around some gossiping, negative people for so long that it's made you miserable and you know it. His relationships had him chained. His relationships had him chained. How many of you have just had... You know, sometimes something's just got to give. If you're going to serve God and serve your community and serve your family, then you can't hang out with someone whose morals are completely different than yours, whose beliefs are completely different than yours. You can't. You can love them and fellowship with them, but you cannot be close with them. Sometimes people don't want you to succeed either. I've learned that about people, even Christians. They love you as long as you're broke and always crying and need help from them. But the second God begins to bless you, man, they don't want anything to do with you. People love you when you're down. But when God begins to do what they've been telling you He could do, they're done with you. Because it's a codependent relationship. People are codependent on one another. They're not serving God. They're not in communion with God. So they're codependent on whining to each other. And the encouragement ministry and the discouragement. David, I believe some people have a ministry of discouragement. Amen. Some people can just walk into a room and the Spirit will be moving and everybody will be laughing and they walk in and... Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm happy. I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Why isn't everybody else as happy? Bless God, I don't want to be around people like that. I need somebody that's happy, amen? That's happy in serving God. That's got a little joy. That knows they've been forgiven. That knows even though they persecuted people, that they've had a Damascus Road experience. They've been saved. They've been filled with the Spirit. They've been given a purpose, amen? And they're happy about it. If you're depressed all the time, I'll pray for you. I'll hug you. I'll cry with you. But bless God, I don't want to spend every minute with you. Because I struggle with that too, and we'll kill each other, amen? The past that chained him. Next, the power that changed him. The power that changed him. You know, Paul was thankful, as we talked about, that God had set him free. I'm thankful God set me free, amen? Bible says Paul was saved because it pleased God to save him. You know, it pleased God to save you. Those that shared their testimony. You know, it pleased God to save you. He wasn't surprised by it either. Isn't that good news? And I've studied. I've got a seminary degree. And I tell you, I still can't figure that part of it out. My dad's got a PhD and he can't figure it out. The best way I've ever heard it explained is like this. When you're lost and in the world, there's someone standing in front of a bridge with a sign that says, come this way. And then you see that sign and you follow that sign and you walk across that bridge. And when you get about halfway across that bridge, you look at the back of that sign and it says, I knew you'd be right where you are all along. Amen. And that's the God we serve, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the triune God. You know, we ain't supposed to figure everything out. But I know when God speaks, when He moves, we better listen and we better obey. That's what I know. I don't care if He's shocked by it or not, amen? I want to be holy in His eyes and in His sight. I want to be obedient. I want the God of mercy, not the God of judgment. The power that changed Him. says he's been set apart. God set you apart too. He set you apart. God's grace called Paul. You know, Paul couldn't, he'd abided by all the rules. That didn't cut it. Only grace could get Paul to Jesus. Only grace could get me to Jesus. You know, I have a dear friend, and I preached yesterday at a homeless thing called Project Esther. We had 38 women saved, and I spoke at an athletic banquet last night at 10:30. Heard this testimony of a former baseball player, and just a powerful testimony. He wasn't supposed to talk about Jesus. For 5 years, nobody's ever preached Jesus. This young man got up there. I just think God had hit him right before, and he preached Jesus. He preached hell. I was having a ball. And then he burst into tears afterwards in front of everybody. I mean, you could tell God just that it had never been done at a Dizzy Dean banquet before. But I have a friend who's a very successful person, and he's a lawyer. He's a very educated man. And I don't know if he's saved or not. I try not to make that call. But I love this man. And he's always accusing me. We went to this banquet. And I said, "Brother, you know, I want you to go with me." I took some of the coaches in the youth league that I coach at. It was a steak dinner. I thought, "Hey, let's go. I'm praying at this. We'll go fellowship." We went, and then this guy preached Jesus, and I'm sitting there going, because he's heard my story. He knows me. And we get in the car, and he says, "Ronnie, you're bound and determined to get me saved, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm bound and determined, brother." And I said, "If you want to settle it right now, let's settle it right now." I said, "It's just a prayer." And I said, "But you just need to mean it." He said, "You'll be the first I tell when I'm ready." And so I want y'all to agree with me in prayer for that friend. But you know, there's the power of God changes people. And I've seen it convict him, because I have lived it, and I've loved kids, and I've prayed and talked about Jesus, but I've never yelled at this man. I've never threatened him with hell. I've never even shared my story with him. And he always looks at me trying to figure out what angle I've got, because he's smart. He's a lawyer. And I've never beat him over the head with the gospel, but he always thinks I'm trying to. But I know that it's the Holy Spirit. With some people, it has to be. The Spirit has to do it. The power that changed him. The past that chained him. The power that changed him. And finally, this morning, the purpose that controlled him. The purpose that controlled him. He was called to preach to the Gentiles, the heathen, the outcast. He went to Arabia, the Scripture says, for 3 years and learned at the feet of our Lord. And then it said he had a 15-day visit with Peter and James, and we'll discuss that later. Then it says, after he returned home to Tarsus for 14 years, he preached the gospel at his home. And then he began his missionary journey 17 years later. Verse 23, they only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. See, salvation was so real to the Apostle Paul that it changed everything about him. And you've heard me say this, God hasn't saved you if he hasn't changed you. It completely transformed Paul's life. It transformed who he hung around, who he spent his time with. It transformed his job. He ended up being a missionary and preaching to the people that he once persecuted. It changed every facet of his life. If you are broken this morning, or you've got things in your past, or you've murdered someone, or you haven't been willing to forgive someone, maybe it's time that you come to know that God's grace is sufficient. You come to know that this apostle who wrote most of the New Testament was also a sinner that had to come to a place of brokenness and repentance. Maybe this morning it's your time to understand that, yes, I have a past, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul had a past that chained him. But bless God, there was a power that changed him. And that power was the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus Christ. But bless God, after you're saved, see, every good testimony, you have to talk about your past, which is the hard part. The mistakes you've made, the sins you've committed. But then, you get the fun part is you get to talk about the power of God that changed your life, that transformed you from the inside out. But then, my friend, and let me tell you this, and I will debate someone to the nth degree on this. Once you're saved, you better know your purpose. And maybe your purpose is serving a church or being a deacon or your job or Rescue Atlanta or Sound or Parking Lot or Deacon or Usher or Encouragement or PowerPoint Team or Worship Leader. But my friend, there was a purpose that controlled Paul. What I see with my generation is kids coming off drugs. Kids, you get them into an evangelistic service. Marriages get put back together. Man, they hear the gospel being preached. They want forgiveness. They want to be saved. They want their marriage to be rebuilt. But they get in the service and then they go back out to their real home, to where they live, with the same old people around them, the same old junk, and then they go back to the world. Why? Because there's no purpose. You see, when God saves you, He gives you a purpose. And you need to be in prayer and in study to find that purpose. You see, Paul had a purpose that controlled him. You see, I think of my past. I've got an awful past. You've heard my testimony. I won't tell it again. But God has saved me from a lot. And I'm thankful for a lot. Amen? But He saved me. I had a past, and then by the power of God, I got saved. But bless God, it's the purpose that keeps me going. God has given me a purpose, and that is to witness and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something this morning. Many of you have a past. All of you have a past. But there's the power of God is available this morning to save you of your sins, to save you from yourself, to save you from your bad influences in your life. But also, then there's a purpose out there for you. God doesn't just want you to stay still and stagnant. He wants to use you in power.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.